Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, May 21st, 2019, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey back here, and Steve will be there soon in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Be part of the show. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. We're also on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And also subscribe to our free podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast App, Google Play. So where you get those podcasts there, you can type in Steve Jones Show, hit subscribe, and then we just drop the shows right into your smartphone and tablet so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. You also have access to 3 months of shows. We've got them in the podcast archive section at stevejonesshow.com. So we'll be with you live till 5 today here on WKOK, 5:06 Late Day News Roundup. Zach Klein will be at the anchor desk this afternoon. And then tonight we will have Phillies baseball head back to the friendly confines of Wrigley Field for game two of that four-game set between the Phillies and Chicago. So on deck will be at 6:30, first pitch at 7:05. Cubs trying to get on the winning side of things after losing last night 5-4 in 10 innings. That's Cubs' fourth loss in their last six. Chicago is actually one out from victory. Chicago was able to come back to get three in the eighth inning to take the lead 4-3. But then the Phillies were able to get a bloop single. Gene Segura blooped it into shallow right field, just out of reach of first baseman Anthony Rizzo. So the Phillies were able to tie it at that point. And then in the top half of the 10th inning, Phillies scoring the go-ahead run thanks to a solo home run by JT Realmuto. Just made it over the left field fence, JT's sixth home run of the year. So the pitchers tonight will be Jose Quintana for Chicago's 4-3. He threw two consecutive wild pitches in his last outing against the Reds in a steady rain, his last start. Although Quintana's numbers have been decent his last two times on the mound, he allowed 3 runs and 4 hits in 6 2/3 innings against the Brewers on May the 10th. Quintana has faced the Phillies 4 times in his career. He is 0-1 with a 4.76 ERA. Now, the Phillies have won 4 in a row. They've now moved to a season-high 9 games over 500 at 28-19. Bryce Harper's 5-game hitting streak came to a close last night in Wrigley Field. He went 0-4. Zach Eflin will be on the mound tonight for the Phillies. He has had 3 straight exceptional starts before running into a speed bump in his last outing. That was the business person special last Thursday at Citizens Bank Park when the Phillies lost to Milwaukee by a score of 11-3. He allowed 4 runs in 7 hits and 5 innings in that game and allowed just 2 earned runs over 25 innings and won all 3 of those games. But Eflin says he just has to be better. Show up better prepared to execute the plan. So that's the plan tonight for Eflin. He did not allow more than 2 earned runs in any of those outings. The first win in that streak did come against the Chicago Cubs when he held them to 1 run and 8 hits in 7 2/3 innings in a 6-1 win in Chicago last time he went up against the Cubs. One guy to be on the lookout for tonight for the Chicago Cubs is Chris Bryant. In his career, against Zach Eflin on the mound, Bryant is 6-10. So we'll have that for you tonight here on WKOK On Deck 630 and First Pitch from Wrigley 705. They'll go back to a First Pitch tomorrow night after 8 p.m. Eastern, and then they'll have a afternoon matchup on Thursday. So we'll be bumped for the Phillies game on Thursday afternoon. That'll be a 2:20 First Pitch from Wrigley Field on Thursday. Some other sports headlines to share with you. Providence men's head basketball coach Ed Cooley has decided to stay in Providence. He met with Michigan officials yesterday. He has agreed to a multi-year contract extension with Providence. School making that announcement earlier today. So Cooley has withdrawn his name from consideration at the University of Michigan. They're still looking to replace John Beilein, who left to go to the NBA. He's now the new head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cooley, a lifelong New Englander born in Providence. He has been their head coach for 8 seasons, 5 consecutive NCAA tournaments. From 2014 to 2018, the Friars finished with a record of 18-16 last season. Quite a few NFL teams are going through OTAs, including the Philadelphia Eagles and their rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. Their running back in the news, but for the wrong reasons. Ezekiel Elliott was attending a music concert in Las Vegas a couple days back. He was detained in handcuffs arrested after a parking lot argument. Of course, TMZ Sports was all over that.
Yeah, and then he went to his kids' clinic afterward. Contrast that with the Saquon Barkley clinic.
That is correct.
Like,
over 600, but it was 500, 600 there to see him over the weekend at camp.
Adam Purdy's son was there.
Wonderful.
Got the full experience. Hopefully you get a chance to talk to Adam about how well it went, whether how much his son enjoyed the experience. That'd be great to hear from him about that, but... Yeah, and then there's Zeke Elliott. His camp experience. Hi, kids. What are we doing? Hi there, kids. Yeah. Very interesting.
All right. Yeah, the list of off-field stuff just keeps getting longer for that guy.
Yeah. All right, the tailgate tour and CFB 150 to promote anniversaries. The 150th anniversary of college football. Okay. This is all about marketing. There's a tailgate tour. Great. I'm sure the tailgate tour will make it here at some point. 150 years of college football. Now, contrary to popular belief, I have not been doing college football for all 150 years. By the way, you missed the beginning of yesterday's show. Bob Buhner, by the way, was brilliant, I might add.
Thank you, Bob, for stopping by. He tells me it's always pure joy when he's part of the show, and I agree.
Oh, same on my part.
Oh, yeah.
My good friend, Bob Buhner. But at the beginning of the show yesterday, the show was hijacked.
Oh, no. More vroom vroom?
Now, I'll give him credit. For a guy that talks a lot about IndyCar,
yeah,
his commentary does go in a circle. So it's...
When he talks about carbs, he talks about racing. When I talk about carbs, it's pretty much what I'm eating. So,
is that race coming up on Sunday? Does that sound right?
Yes. We have contacted NBC Sports. We're hoping to get play-by-play announcer Lee Diffie on the show. That could happen tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see. We're checking on Mr. Diffie's schedule. Now that NBC has now taken over Indy 500 right. coverage on TV. So,
well, if we get Lee Diffie on the show, guess who will be just beyond words?
Oh, yeah. I'll have to lock the door to the studio to keep him out.
I thought that was standard procedure now. I actually watched. You're gonna love this.
Okay.
You're gonna love this.
Right.
This is the 50th year. It's been 50 years since Mario Andretti won his Indianapolis 500s, 1969. And I think, you know, anybody who follows racing knows the story that Mario Andretti, a couple of days before qualifying, crashed his car. So they had to use the backup car to get it into the race. So Andretti, backup car, gets the car into the race. Well, they take that traditional picture of the front row, and Andretti, by the way, was in the middle of the front row. All right. Well, of course, they sell that picture at the in all the gift shops. The front row, the year Andretti won the 500. Okay. You want to know the interesting fact of that picture? Is they're showing Mario Andretti had burns on his face from the accident. The Andretti standing in the middle on the front row of the picture is Aldo Andretti, his twin brother. Did you know that?
Never knew that.
Okay. He said nobody even questioned. He got a hold of Aldo and he said, look, he says, they're going to take this picture. He says, it would look a lot better if you were in on me. So Aldo Andretti went over there and no one was for the wiser. And they sell that picture. The year Mario Andretti won the 500. Here's the picture of the front row. And it's not Mario, it's Aldo. I'll bet even the suit didn't know that.
I'll be on the lookout for a text any moment now if he knows or not.
But that is his twin brother, his identical twin brother, in that picture. You know, they just take a picture of the guys with the cars in the front row, and it's, you know, and they sell it. It's not Mario. It's Aldo. See? I can hang with do some racing stuff on
the
show.
That's right. Story time with Steve, IndyCar edition.
I'm telling you right now, the suit will have no clue about that. None. Zero. Just a fun fact. All right, we'll take a break. Neil Coolong's on the show today. Looking forward to hearing from him here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
That's right. The old twin brothers switcheroo. So you go over to the indie gift shop and go, yeah, maybe we'll get Mario to sign it. Well, why don't you actually get the guy who's in it, Aldo?
It's like that Disney movie, Freaky Friday.
Yeah, it was a Freaky Friday, and what was it, the Parent Trap?
That's right. Parent Trap. Yeah. Also the Parent Trap reboot with Lindsay Lohan before she got all crazy and stuff.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, definitely something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Last night, Golden State won. They're into the final. I was shocked. I couldn't believe they made it. No, I'm just kidding.
I was expecting Golden State in five. I mean, boy, two heartbreaking, crushing losses by Portland, one on the road and one on their home floor. But you nailed it 100% accurately, and I Kenny the Jet Smith said this too on TNT on Inside the NBA. The team is championship caliber without Kevin Durant, but with Kevin Durant, they are truly a dynasty team.
Yeah, I mean, they're excellent without him. Oh, by the way, our thanks to Marvella Richards. See that? Another like on the Facebook page. Thank you, Marvella.
Thank you, thank you.
Appreciate that very much. So, we'll be getting more and more of those. That's great. But look, they're without Kevin Durant, they're an excellent team. With him, they're a dominant team. And they built that team the right way. They drafted Curry, they drafted Draymond Green, they drafted Klay Thompson, and then they built around it by getting they picked up Andre Iguodala, they picked up Sean Livingston, and then they eventually signed Kevin Durant. I mean, they won a championship before Durant got there. Then they lost in seven. You know, they lost the last three games. And then they get Durant, and they haven't lost anything since. So it's. Now, whether they get him back for this, I don't know. I don't know if they'll get him back for the final or not. But that is And Portland could not hit a shot to save its soul. At the end, I'm watching the last 5 minutes in overtime last night. You kept waiting for that. Okay, here comes the big. No, here comes the big. No, drive to the bucket. No, you name all the big shots, they didn't hit a single one of them. Yeah. Yeah, it's so they're in the final. The Milwaukee and Toronto play tonight. The Bruins have been waiting around for the Blues forever. And coming up in the next half hour, we're going to talk some basketball. Josh Reeves is meeting and working out for the Celtics. Meanwhile, working out today for the Indiana Pacers is Lamar Stevens. Stevens, in fact, was in the second workout group with the Pacers today. And that includes Nick Claxton, probably a first-round pick out of Georgia, and Carson Edwards, probably a first-round pick out of Purdue. Lamar is in their group, okay? And Rick Smith's kids was also in that group. Then there was the tough news out of Iowa today. Jordy Bohannon, who's one of the top three-point shooters in the country, sounds like he's going to need hip surgery tomorrow and may miss the entire season. All right, so in the next half hour, we'll talk a little NBA basketball with a Penn State slant to it. We'll talk about Josh Reeves getting
an opportunity to work out for the Celtics. Next on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Some interesting basketball news. Josh Reeves is going to meet and work out for the Boston Celtics today. Lamar Stevens is working out today for the Indiana Pacers. The guy that broke the story about Josh Reeves working out for the Celtics is Brian Kalbrowski, the basketball writer on the NBA Wire and with USA Today. Brian, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here and happy to talk of a high-character guy like Josh Reeves, somebody that I really enjoyed getting to know during my interview process. And I really enjoy, you know, him as a player as well, and think he can project into an NBA rotation fairly easily.
It's interesting because obviously Josh has length and he has quickness and anticipation. He's down. The one area you want to see is you want to see him be a better outside shooter. What attracts the Celtics to the idea that this is a guy they at least should take a look at and talk with?
Well, that's a great question. I think the main answer that I have for you, at least when it comes to him, is for me, it's that he's a win now kind of a guy. He's somebody who could, let's say Marcus Smart leaves in a trade or something, almost come in and fill in for a kind of similar role for a fairly immediate basis. I think, some of the other teams that are looking to rebuild, or maybe have more catastrophic future plans, need a longer time to develop, might look for somebody with more, boom or bust potential, whereas somebody like Josh Reeves can immediately come in and defend at a very high level, play spot minutes. And, I believe that Josh Reeves is a fairly efficient shooter, from a spot up perspective, and off the catch. I do like his jump shot. While he's not somebody who often created off the dribble, so he can't really create his own shot, I think, if he's only getting two or three looks a game, three or four looks a game, I think he probably hit them at a pretty decent rate, hit two or three of those maybe. And, that at least gives him a, perspective to win now. And then the other perspective, too, is that if they find, during summer league and, during the preseason, he's not quite ready, but also have a fairly complete roster, with so many veterans, they could give him some time in the G League too, and not really lose out on, one of their picks because of it. Sometimes with a team, they're going to want a lot of these guys, to contribute right away. And while I do believe Reeves, can be one of those guys, I also know that the Celtics don't necessarily need somebody, who could replace Marcus Smart right away too, because they have guys like Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and so many others who are under contract. And, potentially they do bring back Marcus Smart. Potentially they do bring back Terry Rozier. And in that case, Reeves can be more of a long-term developmental project. So I think there are really two situations there, with Reeves that I can see working out, is because he's an older prospect. He can slot in fairly immediately. And I think also because they're so deep, depending on how the offseason goes, they can let him develop in the G League, with the Red Claws.
That the next part of this is, I know several scouts watch Reeves during the course of the season. I mean, we run into them, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah. So when it comes, he went to the Portsmouth Invitational. That's seniors only. How much did he help himself down there? Because it sounds like he had a pretty good tournament.
Oh, I would say that was really where it all kind of started to materialize for him. He was definitely a Portsmouth standout. He's somebody who, I've seen a lot of, draft websites that have really, called him the second or the third best prospect that were out there, period, among all the prospects participating, among all the seniors. Several of those people ended up getting invites to the G League Elite Camp, which, for several of them ended up turning into invites to the NBA Combine. This is the first year where the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament for seniors did not yield invitations to the Combine because they wanted that to be a G League Elite Camp thing instead. I fully believe that if had Reeves, participated last year as a senior instead of this year, I think he would have been one of the Combine invites from Portsmouth. I don't know how much it's hurt him, though, because at the end of the day, I'm actually tracking I mean, this sounds crazy, but it's just kind of the way my brain works. And, you know, something that I like to do is I'm tracking 26 mock drafts of, you know, different writers that I trust, you know, some teams, some scouts, some people, you know, on websites, and also, you know, just people around the agents too that, you know, maybe don't have any clients in it, former agents. And, I have, you know, them all kind of rank people. And of all the guys who I'm tracking right now, you know, the people who have improved their spot the most are the ones that, you know, I've really kind of been monitoring the most. And, for me, I've Josh Reaves has moved up about 17 spots. That doesn't make him necessarily in the top 60 yet because he was a lot lower.
Right.
But I think, you know, since Portsmouth to now, he's moved up several spots to the point where I think he's really one of the highest risers among everybody that I'm looking at. And I think that's a big deal because, you know, even though he didn't have a chance to show out at the NBA Combine or the G League Elite Camp, I think there was a chance that, you know, there were some, potentially some executives who didn't necessarily want to vote for him to be one of the G League Elite guys because maybe they liked him already and they didn't want more teams to get eyes on him. And I think that's a very real thing. I know that a lot of executives admitted that when they had opportunities to vote for people to go from the G League Elite Camp to the NBA Combine, they just completely punted their votes because they knew that they liked the guy already. And if he went out to the NBA Combine and showed out during scrimmages, you know, that would just raise his draft stock. You can get him for cheaper or as an undrafted pick, potentially, either a second rounder or as a two-way guy or whatever it might be. You know, you'd rather have him as an undrafted guy. You'd rather have him, you know, kind of be as low on everybody else's board as possible, as high as possible on yours. And I think that's kind of where Josh Reaves stands.
Also, the Celtics, I think, have three picks in the second round. Can he put himself in a – now, you obviously, right now, you would guess he'd be a free agent, but could he put himself in a spot where the Celtics would think about using a pick for him?
Well, they have three picks in the first round, one in the second.
Okay.
The one in the second is the 51st pick.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a totally reasonable place for him to fall.
Right.
I think with the 51st pick, yeah, there's totally a chance he could go there. You know, I think let's see on these mock drafts that I'm looking at, on these big boards that I'm looking at, I've seen him as high as 26, 31, 54. You know, there's some where he's like 69, 72, and 81, 76. So, you know, there are some that project him a little bit lower, but, you know, there are a couple of folks who I'm tracking, you know, who have him as a potential second-round pick. You know, and I think in that case, you know, 51, if he's still there, that means there's definitely, you know, reason to draft him if you think there's going to be a big competitive market for him in the undrafted free agent circuit, which is always, you know, like in the hour after the draft, a bunch of names just start popping up on Twitter, and you don't want to necessarily find out on Twitter that you lost your guy with a summer league spot to a different team when you could have just had him as a draft pick. I mean, you know, second round picks without the guaranteed contract, slightly more controllable. If you like him and you think that he could be, you know, fully competent rotational player potentially in your future, especially with somebody who's ready to win now, like Josh, who, you know, went and got his degree, worked hard, you know, has played for a good program for several years and in a Power Five conference. That's somebody you might want to lock up, whereas somebody from a mid-major, you know, who potentially didn't necessarily play against high competition as much, who you're not as sure about. I mean, when you hear, you know, the current Ohio State coach, who's, you know, coached at big programs as well, you know, Butler, to say that he's the best perimeter defender he's ever seen, you know, that's something you need right now in the NBA. You know, in a league that's defined so much by its shooting, you know, you need someone to defend the perimeter, and that's something that he's eager to do. That's something that I think he's going to be able to do in the NBA as well.
Lamar Stevens is going to work out in the same grouping with Nick Claxton and Carson Edwards today for the Indiana Pacers. What, if anything, have you heard about Lamar Stevens?
Well, Lamar is somebody who I think, you know, on my big board, I only have him with the Pacers so far for workouts. He's, you know, a little bit lower than a lot of the guys that I'm looking at, but I mean, he's also ahead of like 40 guys as well. So, you know, I'm looking at a lot of players, and he's definitely one of them. He's somebody who I think can help himself in these workouts, obviously. Very productive college player, somebody who, you know, knows how to play basketball at a high level, and I think can probably show that in these workouts too. You know, I think that, you know, he relied a lot on one-on-one and isolation basketball, and I think that's going to be a little bit tougher in the NBA against NBA defenses. You know, but yeah, if he not much of a spot-up shooter, but you know, is able to create a shot a little bit, which I think is pretty cool. You know, was able to be a little productive in that. Not the most efficient jump shooter though, and I think that's going to be a huge problem for him moving forward. I haven't spoken to him as much, but I know that, you know, he's a transition player. So teams that might run, you know, more of a high tempo offense, right, might really like Lamar Stevens because he can fit into that, at least on a spot basis.
Right, and of course he has a year of eligibility left, and he has not hired an agent, so this can be a valuable experience for him moving forward if he decides to come back.
Yeah, and of the players that I've talked to, a lot of them were at the NBA Combine last year. You know, got that Combine invite, and you know, even to get the Combine invite, that probably means that, you know, most teams thought you were a top 60 player. And you know, I think almost everybody that I've spoken to seems to really believe that, you know, the going to the Combine, testing the waters last year, you know, being a part of this whole process, was a really good thing for them. And I think that that's something that, you know, even if he didn't get those Combine looks, didn't participate in the G League Elite Camp, I think he'll still have a lot of success, you know, going back to Penn State potentially, as he continues to look into basketball as a professional career, because I think that, you know, that is so valuable. You learn so much about yourself through this process. You hear a lot of good feedback, and I think that, you know, for the most part, time and time again, you know, as you learn more about yourself and you learn more about what NBA teams want, you can work specifically on those, you know, things about you. And like I said, you know, because he's such an ISO-heavy player, I don't know if that's something a team's necessarily going to like. I think while that might help in the G League, and that's really where, you know, you can really stand out in a lot of ways, is if you create your own shot, I think to fit in on an NBA offense, you're going to have to kind of be more of a scheme fit. You know, he posts up guys a lot. He's not going to be able to do that as much at the next level. He cuts to the basket, which I think is something he's going to be really told to keep doing. You know, cutters are a very efficient way of scoring. I think that's the thing that Lamar Stevens is going to potentially have a really good future in the NBA or in the G League or as a professional basketball player, whatever, you know, route he does take. So that's something that I think, you know, he should double down on, and relying a little bit less on creating his own shot and fitting more into a team system, I think is going to benefit him a lot in the long run.
Right. And the other, you know, I'll give you an example. A guy like Bruno Fernando, he went through the process last year. He went back to Maryland, yeah, and he put himself in a better spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there are several people like that. I think the prime example that we can look at, you know, is Bruno Fernando, but the other one that comes to mind is PJ Washington, who was looking potentially for a first-round promise, and I think that most people had him on their boards in the second round, and now I think that, you know, he's fairly close to a consensus lottery pick, and I think, you know, that makes the world of difference, and I think that, you know, someone who really goes back to school, works on his game, and, you know, learns from the process can really help. You know, there are some people who just may not have had it, and that's all right too, obviously, but, you know, PJ Washington could easily be a lottery pick this year,
sure,
after last year being a potential second rounder, and I think that's you know, that's kind of all the evidence you need.
Thanks so much for the time and the information. We appreciate it very, very much.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm happy to talk about someone like Josh who really stood out to me, you know, both before I spoke to him, that's why I wanted to get in touch, and then afterwards as well. I'm looking forward to sharing the interview that I did with him when, you know, in the next week or two, and I'll be sure to link it to your program so you guys can take a look when it goes live.
That's absolutely terrific. Thanks so much for doing that and for thinking of us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Brian Kalbrowski, NBA writer. And he does so for HoopsHype.com and for USA Today. Next half hour, Neil Coulon, as we go through what we hope will be an indie-free hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, very interesting. Jimmy Pitaro is now the one that runs ESPN, and he did an interview with the LA Times. And in the interview, he says, quote, "Without question, our data tells us our fans do not want us to cover politics." Well, here's the data for you. They've lost 15 million subscribers. Now, that's data. All right, that is big time data. A couple years ago, this became something that was very much talked about. And I'll give you the two comments here. This is from ESPN in January of 2017. This is January 2017. "So many of you write in every time we say something that you disagree with politically, even though we don't talk politics around here. We talk race, we talk about cultural issues, we don't talk politics. So many of you write in. That's why ESPN is losing subscribers, because of its liberal leanings. It's just a basic misunderstanding of what is happening with ESPN that confirms your biases. That is not why ESPN is losing subscribers at all. ESPN is losing subscribers because in 2017, all the technology has changed, and 99 million of you have been paying for something that 98 million of you may not be using at any given time. It's not about the politics of the company. The company doesn't have politics." Well, a lot of people were complaining about the social media usage, what their personalities were saying. And that was before Jimmy Pitaro came back. Now, Pitaro said today, the interview was in Sunday's LA Times. He said he satisfied ESPN's more traditional fans by steering commentators away from political discussions on air and on social media, which heightened during President Trump's criticism of NFL player protests against social injustice during the playing of the national anthem. "Without question, our data tells us our fans do not want us to cover politics," Pitaro said. "My job is to provide clarity. I really believe that some of our talent was confused on what was expected of them. If you fast forward to today, I don't believe that they are confused." Now, it does come down to they've lost a lot of subscribers, and they've lost it for a variety of reasons. It's not, you know, some people want to cut the cord because it's too expensive, right? So they're cutting cord with cable anyway. Some people are getting tired of the endless 24/7 circle of ideas they talk about. Some people, I think, are sick of all the NBA talk. Some people are, you know, there's a wide variety of reasons, and some people are getting sick and tired of every time they turn around, they were getting a lecture about society from a sports commentator, when in reality, a lot of people who watch ESPN, for some odd reason, wanted to watch sports. And I think that's what it came down to. And it's like, you know, stop bombarding me with stuff. I just want to watch the game. And they took a hit. They took a hit from it. The 15 million subscribers. They were at what, 101? Now they're at 86. Now, that 86 is still a dynamic number. Every cable network from Bravo to Hallmark to CNN to Fox News to Nickelodeon would all like to have 86 million households. And that's what they would they'd like to have that. So the ESPN still has that, but the difference is that they were at 101 before. Well, 101 to 86, that 15% drop is a pretty big drop. And that's, you know, and then when he came on board, I'm trying to think the heck he replaced. But he said, look, enough of this. Let's get back to doing sports here. said, not everything has to be a social commentary. So they've at least tried that path. Now, whether it's rectified the percentage of people cutting the cord, and some people are cutting the cord for financial reasons, let's be honest about it. I mean, they're all turning to radio. Have you noticed that, Sean?
No complaints from this veteran radio camper.
I mean, they're all turning to radio. I mean, this... Next half hour, Neil Coulong will join us. By the way, it is an election day, and this is different because you actually are electing a congressman today. This is not to set up November in a primary. You're actually electing a congressman.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.